sexy clap. Not gonna lie.
Was it?
A little bit. I'm a little turned on right now.
The pitch was right. You know, the amount of ack to the sm was
ack to the sm.
yeah. That's all, folks. We're done today. No. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to LR Mornings today with Kyle and
Jammer. And there's more. There's more.
What is there?
There's more. You know, we talked about Jason Momoa and how there was a fake Frosty announcement that in order to distract from Ray Fisher and his whole situation.
Yes.
Ray Fisher had more to say on that. And what the hell, where is it? Jason Momoa Frosty, where the fuck is... Did I not write that up? I could have sworn I wrote that up. Okay, give me a second. I'm going to find it. But yeah, apparently that wasn't the only thing that Warner Brothers did. Actually, I don't even know why I feel like I need to read it. Because basically, Ray Fisher said that the announcement about Batman was supposed to come out the Saturday of DC Fandom, but they pushed it to Thursday because it was the same day that he talked about the investigation starting at Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I buy that one. See, like, I can go either way. Know. Here's why I'm not sure I buy that one. The reason why is because it wasn't like it was just Warner Brothers put out there, hey, he's being Batman. It was like an actual in-depth Vanity Fair article announcing it. That delved into the Flash. It was a in-depth Vanity Fair article that announced it. So he announced it like around 1:20 p.m. and then the article went live about an hour and a half later, maybe a little bit after that. And it's not something you can kind of just throw together at the last minute. However, I also and also to be fair, I'm not sure that a separate Vanity Fair article would have been something that they would have wanted during DC Fandom, if that makes sense, because it would have been weird. It's like DC Fandom, and then also there's a separate Vanity Fair article about Batman. It just would have been weird to get it out of its funnel. However, there is also a possibility they have been working on this article for a while, and then they went to Vanity Fair and said, hey, can you publish this now, as soon as possible? And then they said, oh, yeah, sure, and they did it. So that's also very possible. So I posit those are the two potentials. Let's see here. Yeah, that's it. That's it. What do you think?
studios will do some shady stuff to get your attention elsewhere, whether it's from competition with other studios like DC and Marvel, always trying to outdo each other. You know, Disney will release something on top of DC releasing something.
I will tell you what, like them releasing the Batman Ben Affleck news on that day.
Yeah.
Was something that like caught Disney's eye and may or may not have been a big reason as to why they didn't launch that Mandalorian trailer later that day during the NBA playoffs. Just saying.
I get so like,
I'm actually dead serious too. I'm not even like conspiracy theorizing here. Like,
yeah.
Dead serious. People on the inside have said that.
Okay. I mean, that's cool. But to even the people to come up with that or to be so angry at so many outlets still shocks me. Like, you guys realized somebody could have pulled the plug on it at the last minute because of all of the reporting, like, you know, or something else happened.
Are we talking about Mandalorian trailer now?
Yeah. Back when people were complaining about that.
There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff, and yeah, unfortunately, at the end of the day, when we throw our hat in the ring and that stuff, like, that's the risk that you run is that things are going to change last minute. People seem to think like, oh, this is planned months and months in advance and is set in stone. No, it's not. Like, it's planned as well as it could be in advance, but then obviously it has to shift and roll with the punches of, you know, reality.
Yep. Yep. You never know what might even take national news. Speaking of Mandalorian, season 2 trailer came out yesterday. What'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was fine. I mean, it was fine. It was fine. Yeah, it was fine. It was good. It's not great, but it was fine. I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to think of other words, but I'm like, yeah, it's fine. It worked. It was a thing.
What didn't you like about it specifically?
Oh, it's not that I didn't like anything. It just wasn't necessarily like it didn't reach into my jellies and you know, twiddle around my innards.
So about the Big Bang, I threw something at my cat.
Oh, no problem. No, it wasn't necessarily anything wrong with the trailer. There wasn't a lot. I guess they're looking for Jedi and they're traveling from planet to planet looking for a Jedi. And we, you know, obviously people are freaking out about that could be Sabine Wren, who is the woman in the cloak. And cool. As someone who doesn't know much about Sabine Wren, that totally does nothing for me, I guess.
Same here.
Yeah. And then everything else, I think it's fine. It looks like it'll be another good season of The Mandalorian, but as a Jawa goes off in the background. But yeah, I don't know. I'm actually just trying to, I'm going to look it over right now just to see, like, what was it? Because it looked good. It just, I don't know. It didn't seem like, it didn't seem like anything unexpected or unique based on the premise. Like, it's like, this is the premise. This is what we've been given. This is the most predictable way for it to go. And it met the expectations, which is fine. I guess, yeah, that's it. That's pretty much it. And about you?
I actually liked this trailer bit better than the season 1 trailer.
Mm.
So I went back and watched the original trailer, and I liked this trailer more than I did the original season 1 trailer.
I think it did more. It did show more than that original trailer did.
Yeah, I mean, I know that, you know, two of the characters, you see Kara and Carl Weathers, and one more. Who else did you see? Oh, the guy playing the Moff, you see him. Mm-hmm. For a second, not gonna lie, kind of. Remember, I told you I'm really like just burned out on Star Wars. For a second, like when the X-wings are there and the speeder bikes are doing, for a second there, I was like, Star Wars, and then I was like,
wait a second, I don't want this.
Dreading. I was like dreading. I was like, this is all the stuff that's not part of the backdoor pilot for 6 spinoffs.
I mean, it might be. It might be a part of it.
It might be a part of it. I mean, at least you don't see the characters. Some people think you see the Sabine Wren character. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right.
She's from Rebels or
she's from Rebels.
Okay. And I know some people think she's the one in the cloak that you see. I liked it. Like I said, it got me excited for a moment, and then I got all gloomy again. CGI looked a little bit cleaner, didn't it?
I mean, I don't think there was a problem with the CGI in the first trailer, the first season trailer. Like, I don't think there was much.
No, in the first
trailer, at least. Like in the show itself, like I think the big standout scene to me was one where IG-88 or 11, I forget which one it is. I've lost track of the IGs because
11.
Okay, IG 11, like, I think kicked something, and it was like a full CG shot of him kicking whatever, and it didn't look weird. And then some of the blurgs or whatever, they looked a little, they look pretty CG.
Yeah.
But but there was nothing in the initial trailers that made me think CG in that first one. So like I wouldn't necessarily there could still be issues. However, the benefit with this one is that they had momentum on their side, so they can kind of build off of what came before and spend less time in sort of establishment resources. So hopefully they were able to put more money into stuff like CG and or whatever.
Yeah. The speeder bike chase was one of those scenes I noticed. I was like, hey, that looked pretty clean.
Yeah, everything in it looked pretty clean, I will say. I think that maybe the weirdest, oddest CG stuff for me may have been at the very beginning when you see the Razor Crest floating across the or around the planet. And just the way it was doing, maybe it was just because of the logic of space where the tailgate, clearly the Razor Crest is kind of damaged and the tailgate is kind of bobbing up and down and then it's in flickering the inside. I'm like, that doesn't make much sense in space, but okay.
If the engines are shaky, the whole thing would shake.
It looked like, but it looked like it was affected by gravity.
Yeah, I know.
And I know. And we've had this conversation before. You still think that the sound effects are for the audience and not for the world. I think the sound effects in space are for the world personally. Okay. So like, I think you could kind of let that weird logic stuff go. You know, the TIE fighters, it's like dogfights in World War One. It's not actually anything remotely realistic as to how space warfare would go. So it's like, you kind of got to let those things go. And so yeah, it just looked a little weird and I wasn't sure if it was a CG thing or like a gravity logic thing or whatever, but that was the only thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I see that. I'm excited to at least get some sense of what these other shows are going to be like, I guess. I wonder if I'm going to be wasting my time watching them all. October 30, I thought it was supposed to come out like on the 10th or something like that, but it's coming out on the 30th, which means we get to do some rewatching of season one and talking predictions and things on season two on Cam and I's podcast. So yay!
There's
that.
Should actually have Mike on, Mike Shockey from our site, because he knows a lot about the animated stuff, and he actually broke down the trailer for this and basically took a stab at all the planets from Navarro to Tatooine to Mon Calamari to Zepho and Illum as all of like the potential planets that we visited in the trailer.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, take a look at that. LRMonline.com.
Do it now. Somebody had the great idea that I had like year or two ago. To do
you got this.
BioShock.
Okay.
BioShock TV series.
Oh no. You transitioned away from Star Wars. I had more to say.
You did?
I did. There was a rumor that that I wanted to talk about. I was curious what your thoughts were.
I had told you I'd gotten gloomy and kind of started getting away from it.
Sorry. Well, the thing about it is that we'll get back to BioShock. But according to YouTuber Grace Randolph, and you can kind of take her stuff with a grain of salt, she's really hit or miss. But the only thing is, regardless of whether or not she's hit or miss, she very clearly has people on the inside. So at least you can kind of take a look at what she said and kind of think, maybe, even if it's not completely true. But she said that star Pedro Pascal wanted more FaceTime in The Mandalorian. He asked for more FaceTime and they were like, no, that's not the character. So he tried to go to Lucasfilm, but ultimately it resulted in them saying, well, maybe you should step away. So he did. And she claims this is why there's a shift halfway through where it starts focusing on other characters, is because the titular Mandalorian is no longer there. But then she then goes on to speculate that, oh, they can rearrange his scenes so that it makes it feel like a more complete series and stuff, so that his scenes are throughout the entire show as opposed to just at the front end or whatever. And then she also went on to say that it's possible that they already worked this out with Pascal, and that he's going to be back, so it may not mean anything. I've spoken with some people, from what I hear, like, that's been worked out. We're talking with our sources as well to make sure we know what's going on. We haven't heard anything ourselves in regards to any ridiculous drama. Maybe it's because it was dealt with relatively soon and that she's getting this months after the fact. Also, we talked about a while ago how they were doing a Game of Thrones type show where it's like it's where everything spins off of this, and then from there on you follow like the different characters in a big overarching thing over in separate shows. And Randolph claims the reason for that is because of this drama. We have not heard that, but we already know it's confirmed that they are going for a sort of more epic scope from more different perspectives, at least starting in The Mandalorian. So I just thought that was interesting. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, first I'd be upset that Pascal was gone. I'd say that sucks, but I mean, you joined as the Mandalorian, you know, you kind of knew what you're getting into as far as FaceTime, you know.
Maybe not, though, because it's like there's a bunch of Mandalorians in the animated shows that take off their helmets all the time.
Yeah, that's true. I'm wondering if Favreau and company, like, were they up front with how much
they probably were last time. They probably were, but still, like, it's probably a situation that's still graded.
Yeah, yeah. But I'd be upset if he left.
I would too.
I really liked him, or at least his voice acting, because God knows how often the stuntman is on screen in this show versus Pedro.
Yeah,
and I can see this story being true. I just really hope it's not. I hope they went on this nostalgia kick for whatever other reason. I hope it's not because we're going to be light on the Mando this year, you know.
I mean, I think we are going to be lighter than in years past simply because of the increasing scope of it.
But right, but I don't mean like only 3 episodes worth, you know.
Sure, yeah,
not that light.
it was weird to me that in her, you know, her video about it, she was very much like backpedaling even as she was front pedaling, where she was saying like, oh, they could have sorted it out for all we know, they could be editing around it, basically giving herself back doors for, you know, for this whole situation. And well, I get it, because the reality is, when it comes to scoops, like, things are always changing, and it's just, you know, it's impossible to get everything right. Not only that, you could hear stuff that's true, but maybe for one reason or another, the source that you heard it from is a source that is down, what's it called? A source that is, like, not necessarily in the right group for very specific types of sources. Like, they're down the food chain, so to speak. So,
yeah.
It's just, it depends on where you hear it from, at which stage, things can change. It's just, or you can hear something that's correct, but maybe the context is wrong. So it's just one of those things where it's like, you gotta take your hits to the chin every now and then. We have taken our fair share as well, including the Mandalorian trailer thing. But yeah, you know, it's just part of the business, because when you put something out there, you run the risk of it changing last second, and then you looking like you made it up.
Advertising, it definitely is something that can change last minute. And they're like, no, fuck, put Doritos up there. I don't give a shit. We're not going.
Mm-hmm.
But no. Are you done with Star Wars now?
I'm done with Star Wars. You can move on to a series that I know nothing about.
I just want to say how excited I am to see there's somebody out there in Hollywood, the boy star Jack Quaid stated that he's down for a BioShock TV series. He said, and this comes from comicbook.com. He said, I think they should make a TV show out of BioShock. A movie's too small. I mean, I literally have the Skyhook over here. I'm guessing he's pointing to some device he's got. But Infinite's good. I think it's simpler and just more interesting with the very first one. And Minerva's Den in 2 is amazing. But yeah, they've got to do it someday. All the stuff he mentions is pretty cool to me, and the fact that he's like pointing out individual levels in individual games, I take him that he is an actual big fan of mm-hmm. the series. Cam wrote our piece for it, and talks all about the game. I can't recommend the games enough to anybody that likes first solo first person shooters, you know, story driven first person shooters. This is one of the coolest games out there. Hell, I think it's even free if you have a PlayStation Now. So if you've got that streaming game thing with Xbox, you might have access to it for free as well. But yeah, I've wanted them to do a streaming series because there's been rumors of movies from time to time, but it's such a mystery, and that's why I think you'd like it, Jammer. It's a mystery.
I'm sure game. I would like it. I just don't have time to play games really much anymore. I'm trying. I'm like, oh god. I still am gonna play them, but man, it's hard to say. Like, I'm gonna jump into a freaking epic type series, and like, I don't know if time for that.
Yeah, but mystery. There it goes. It clicks in place. Finally, the mystery aspect, I think, drawn out over, you know, a 6-episode series would be way better and way more shocking than over 2 hours and 15 minutes. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Just my thoughts.
Yeah, I'm sure BioShock is something that would prefer TV over film, just by nature of the story. I think we've like learned that.
Most video games.
We've talked about this in the past, yeah. I think the thing is, TV is just much more flexible. Almost to a fault, I will say. There are some shows that people are super into, and I get to it, I'm like, oh my god, 55 minutes or an hour and 10 minutes and nothing happened? Too much. Too much runtime. Like, I almost feel like TV nowadays, or streaming TV, has made writers really too flexible to the point where they are allowed to have stretches, long stretches of nothing happening. And I'm like looking at my watch going like, what's going on? Like, are we doing something anymore? What's happening here? You know, obviously it has its strengths. I think you can split the difference and do some great stuff with TV where there's amazing shit out there right now. So I think it'd be a good one. Just get the pacing right. Don't make long stretches of nothing. Please.
Yeah. Well, mystery. So there has to be a little bit of nothing so you can stew and think about the mystery.
I mean, I disagree. It's not about like just sitting here. Let's it's not like we're going like, it's not like he's looking at us and going like, well, let us just sit here and contemplate the information that we've been given. He crosses his legs and just kind of puts his hand up to his chin and strokes it and is just like,
He's got to anime it. Even though you just watched it, he has to sit down and go, so if this and this happens, then that and that will happen. And
I hate that so much.
Solve.
I don't understand why anime does that.
I don't either because you literally just watched it happen or are watching in like a Dragon Ball's case often. They're narrating what you're watching while watching it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even repeating it. It's narration.
Or even worse, if they tell us things
that they
should have shown us. And I'm like, well, why didn't they just show that instead? That would have been easy to show. Things like that, where I'm just like, it's just lazy storytelling. And I'm not sure if it's lazy storytelling. I've said this before. I'm not sure it's lazy storytelling as much as it's like a cultural difference between where the medium spawned and what is acceptable for one reason or another. But I still, as an American who was freaking raised and taught Western style storytelling, I'm like, if you show me something, you don't need to tell it to me. And if you tell it to me, you probably should be showing it to me instead. And taking advantage of the medium rather than just having everything being internal monologue. It just makes much more sense. That being said, I love me some plenty of shows that have way more internal monologue than they should. If you ever seen Hajime no Ippo, which was just picked up by Discotech Media, I highly recommend it. Mm. It is nonstop internal monologue while people are boxing, is basically what the show is.
Yeah. Oh, that's that boxing one you talked about before.
It's so good. But yeah, it just got picked up and they're going to release all of them so we can now enjoy them for the first time in God knows how long. I remember when I was first into that show, it was picked up by, I think, Pioneer at the time. And I used to get them on the freaking Netflix mail DVDs. They would mail DVDs.
Yeah.
That's how I enjoyed that entire show.
There's a place called Hastings that was a
fishing shop,
no, book and music store with video and game rentals as well. So it was like Books a Million plus Blockbuster, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they had a pretty decent anime selection, and that's where I got to get into most of what I did throughout high school.
I used to also trade in and out stuff at GameStop all the time.
They traded stuff? Like,
movie?
Yeah, they did used to do movies.
Yeah.
They even had Movie Stop. Did you ever see a Movie Stop
store? No. I saw Suncoast's.
Movie Stop. Way after Suncoast. Oh, God. Does Suncoast even exist anymore?
No, Suncoast does not exist. There's no way that place exists. I'm looking this up, but I don't think it exists.
Okay, yeah. That'd be shocking. It's like every now and then you still see an FYE, like, what the hell is that doing here? Does it exist?
I'm looking. No. The first thing that pops up is a credit union, so I'm assuming that it does not exist anymore.
Okay.
You were going somewhere with that, weren't you?
Where was I go?
I don't know. It sounded like you were heading somewhere. Hold on a second. This is from Texas Monthly back in November 2019. Suncoast Motion Picture Company's last stand is happening in Southeast Texas. Beaumont is home to one of just a handful of stores in a chain once beloved by movie nerds. God, I watched so many. I got so many things there. I got like all my Quentin Tarantino movies from there. I got a bunch of anime from there. I used to always look up at the VHSs of the Frieza saga that they had with like all of the sides linked up to create one big picture.
Yeah.
And God, those were the days. Those were the days.
Bulky physical media. No, actually, I am a physical media fan. I still buy Blu-rays.
I like the idea of physical media. I get the appeal, and I get the appeal of, obviously, special features are the shit. Love special features.
I love how Disney Plus has like the majority of the same special features, at least on the Marvel movies.
I didn't know that.
As the Blu-rays. Yes, if you go to extras, the majority, the deleted scenes, commentaries.
iTunes also has those, or I guess, I don't even know if you call it iTunes anymore. Apple Movies or whatever has them. If you get them on there, they have all the special features usually. But I get the appeal of owning it and it never going bad or whatever. Like, I get that appeal. But at the same time, there is nothing more draining than freaking picking out a Blu-ray and putting it in there. And I'm not kidding. I'm not being ironic. Because the thing is like, and especially because I don't, first of all, as someone who's moved like probably five times in the past decade, I've had to basically whittle down my thing, and then also my collection, and then I've also put it all into giant CD cases, and giant CD cases are freaking awful. I don't know where anything is. I guess I should organize it, but then my wife organized it in a way that didn't quite make sense, so now I'm too lazy to go back and reorganize it. And so just finding things is a drag, and it just makes me not want to do anything. And that's why I also don't want to get physical media anymore, because it's just too much hassle. But I get the appeal.
Yeah. I limit mine. Just certain things. Well,
yeah.
Maybe the next gen disc is still Blu-ray for both PlayStation and Xbox, so we know we're stuck with it for a little bit.
Yeah, I guess the only difference is between like Blu-ray and 4K Blu-ray, I guess they call it.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's what I meant. They're both UHD, Ultra HD, or whatever.
Or one of them is Ultra HD, but it's still like, you know, Sony Blu-ray quote unquote brand, I guess, even if it's 4K.
Yeah. What, I'm confused. Why'd you bring up the
Ultra? Oh, because you said both are UHD, and I was like, well, no, only one of them is UHD. Blu-ray is HD, and 4K is Ultra HD.
Well, I meant both of the systems have
UHD. Oh, right. Yes.
Drive, not a Blu-ray drive. They've got UHD drives.
Gotcha.
Which all ultra high def Blu-ray is I think it's basically like a double layered DVD. They double layered the Blu-ray discs for more space. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Anyways, we're running on too long. You guys, thank you so much for listening today. Make sure you check out LRMonline.com every single day for all of your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. And YouTube channel's great. Lots of celebrity interviews, cool stuff there. And of course, this podcast network, wherever you get podcasts from, probably where you're listening to us from right now. But yeah, check those out. Please like, share, and subscribe. Jammer, where can people find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter, all of my entertainment stuff at LRMonline.com. And then finally, if you decide, you can go check out my novels under the name AJ Serna on Audible and on Amazon.
Yeah, there you guys go. You guys can find me at That Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. We will, tomorrow. Tomorrow's Wednesday.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
It is later than I thought. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.